Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for who you are. Lord, you're the God of all creation and recreation. Thank you, Lord, that we're your children and that we can hear you. We listen to you, Lord, and we love you. In Jesus' name, thank you. Between this morning's service and tonight, I made a few notes. I'd like to go over them just a little bit because I think it's very pertinent to us here. Brother Francis this morning said that we need the Spirit of God to lead us and not for us to try to lead him. And I thought that was very profound because sometimes we get or try to get the Holy Spirit to lead us, but really what we're doing is we're trying to lead him. And then what happens, we get him to try to get into our vision and our desires. And so we can take it from there and we could build on that, but it's interesting because we'd be building alone. And the Holy Spirit would just be there shaking his head. So I really like to shake, to lead you, but yeah, there's a shake up. That's another point I have here. Well, I'll probably say it like this. About 2 months ago, I had a severe dream, and I won't go into it. There's young kids hearing that. But it was something that really shook me to the core. And it was one of them dreams where it was so real that you could almost reach out and touch it. And partway through the evening, through the night, I get up, and I didn't feel any fear or anything, but I felt peace. Because God was showing me something, he was telling me something, and he was leading me into something. And so what happened was I had a yogurt and a little water. The yogurt part is very pertinent. It was flavored. And that's the way I lead myself. I don't know. 3 o'clock in the morning, I just woofed it down. I had some water. But anyways, I went back to bed. Same dream. Very real. Very the D word. And that was a Saturday night. But before I went to bed Saturday night, the Lord was saying to me, and he spoke to me very clearly. He said, I'm increasing my anointing on you. I said, oh, that's great. But little did I know that for the next couple of months, I'd be going through impasse with a capital I. And so I just come out of it a week or so ago, but it seemed like my world was turning upside down. And you talk about a shakeup, and tonight it was mentioned about a shakeup. I let it go for a little while, and then I started talking about it. But that morning, on Sunday morning, when Donna and I got up, she said, who were you kicking last night in bed? And who are you yelling at? It was that kind of dream, right? So when I went back to for the second time, it was the same thing. When I get up in the morning, I was troubled. I wasn't full of fear. But God had said that he was going to increase his anointing on me so I'd be able to go through that and what was about to come. Because I thought it just ended with the dream. So this hitman began to persecute me. I mean, with strange types of temptations and situations. And I felt like I was in a major fog, to be honest. And I probably lost some victory in some areas, at least in the sweet spot that I had with the Lord. And so I felt that I was fighting, and thinking, when is this going to end for the last 2 months? Well, it did a week or so ago. But God taught me what we were singing tonight. That fall when you stand up here and you just fall backwards and you trust the Lord. I believe my level of trust has increased. I know my level of anointing has increased. I mean, if you just listen, can't you hear the chatter? The enemy's trying to speak to us and tell us that we're no good. Can you hear that? And I sense the anointing as I'm speaking. I'm telling you something. Tell him to take a walk. You have the power, you have the authority. But on the other hand, do you hear the Holy Spirit speaking, saying that you are my child? Is he dropping down some gift into you? Like, how about the gift of the word of knowledge? The gift of the word of knowledge is simply knowing something, him downloading it to you, that's already known. Whereas the gift of the word of wisdom is really having common sense, but his common sense about what to do with the situation while you're in it. And so I might as well go through them. The gift of discerning of spirits is when he drops the curtain, you see into the spirit world, and you know what's going on. You see what's going on in the spirit world, which is different than the word of knowledge. See what I'm saying? The word of knowledge will tell you what is already known. When he drops down the curtain to see into the spirit world, you will know who and what is behind what situation. One thing for sure, the gift of the word of knowledge. I know that's in operation here tonight with someone. And whatever it is the Lord has given you, make sure that you see it through and carry it out. He may be telling you something that you may not have ever been told before. He doesn't give you anybody's dirty laundry. Let me make that very clear. That's not God. Unless for over and over and over and over and over. He'll say, well, you need to minister to this person, and here's where. But other than that, that's not the way he works. But when you're doing ministry, and sometimes they just don't get set free, it's generally something in them or on them. And if you look at them, you'll see the ball of chain that leads away. And God will generally drop down the curtain and show you what it is. He is in the business, if you will, of setting us free. So why wouldn't he show us what's bothering our brother or sister? So the shakeup was started about 2 months ago for me. And I just sat on it for a while because I didn't really want to tell too many people. And so I thought, well, I need to because it is a shakeup. And so I started to tighten up in some things. Sometimes I can get loosey-goosey. Don't take that anywhere, okay? Everything's working fine. I learned this kind of punchline. What did you say? But anyways, especially talking about this stuff, we need to have the joy of the Lord, right? So it seemed like pain increased. Confusion started setting in. Not that I couldn't operate, I could. I just seemed to lose the edge. You know? And things were bothering me more than what they should. And I would think in my mind, hey, there's something wrong here. And I would start to murmur and complain a bit. And maybe speak some negativity, which is not me at all. And finally, one day, I got myself. And I said, gee, this is not right. And I started coming out of things. Whatever things are pure, just, honest, lovely, of good report. If there be any praise, if there be any virtue, these things think on. Don't meditate on other things. Meditate and think on them things. Don't slander a brother. Don't judge someone. Anyways, so the shakeup was beginning. And I called my family and I said, well, I need to go deeper into the Lord. And so I just want you to know, because if we're going deeper, then the enemy steps up his little fight as well. The other thing is, too, it wasn't just for me or my family. I believe it's for the church body. There is a shaking coming up. He will be taking us through the valleys and through the mountains, but it doesn't matter because it's only shaking some junk off that you don't need anyway. And that's what he did with me personally, and I don't mind telling you because it's over. This was an impasse of impasse. I think I met myself. The good, the bad, and the ugly. But I realized I had to tighten up. And I had to get with God's program totally. I had to be able to stand on a table and fall back forward, backwards. Trust Him. There is no other way. I want that spontaneous worship to my Father, and I want that spontaneous obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to hesitate, because hesitated obedience really is disobedience. And if we leave it alone long enough, we'll reason ourselves right out of it. I just want to be able to love God and not be pulled down by these things. So the anointing that He increased on me was to go through the shaking up, but also to come to a place in Him where I trust Him more. And that's what I live for. It's an amazing thing, actually, because I can see things now, I can hear things now more in the Spirit. I also seen through all this time, Romans 5 and 5, I've seen a flood of love from God flowing over His people. And that's generally not me, but I've seen that. And I meditated on that, because anytime He gives me something, I meditate it. Because He is trying to download into me something that He wants me to know. And the flood was like a tidal wave. It was like a tsunami. It's coming. And we as a church here, we love God. But we also need to tighten up in some areas, some of us, concerning God leading us. Very important. We need to know His leading when it comes to who we're going to marry if we're young. What situation that we're in, how do we get out of it? The godly way. If we buy a house, Lord, is that really You? If we buy a car, Lord, is this going to mess me up? Is this a lemon? Please show me, Father. Instead of doing it first and suffering later because of a mistake that we made that we didn't have to make. I've been there in all them accounts. Except for the marriage part. Thanks, Martin. I felt like the goalie in hockey, you know? I made a save. That wouldn't be the Leafs. That wouldn't be the Leafs. Glory to God. God love me. I'm your brother. Okay, there is a shake-up. And if you have not been going through it, get ready. But remember, if it's a mountain or a valley, it's only the shadow. The real death, the real things, man, you will go through. And it's almost like a blessing. And I know that sounds like maybe an oxymoron, but it's almost like a blessing looking forward to these types of things, because you know when you come out of it, you're going to be able to do more, love more, say more, and be closer to the thing that God has called you to do here on this earth. It's not fun at the time, but if you have a hard time going through it, just get your mind and lock into it. Sometimes we got to do things with our mind to get over something or through something, until we get back on track and running in all cylinders and all part of our being. This morning, the word was Exodus 15, and I caught on to verse 14. Go forward. You got the Red Sea in front of you? Go forward. Strike it. And if you get drowned because it didn't part for you, like they said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, even if He does not deliver me from this furnace, I still will not bow down to them gods. So even if the lake you're on doesn't go and part for you, what do you got to lose? You're on your way to heaven. Part of all that, too, is during them couple of months, I had a few good friends die. And my quest was to go on a seeking God, because I do spend a lot of time seeking Him. I spend a lot of time in prayer, and I thank God for that. But one fellow you might know, his name was Johnny Moniz. He died yesterday. I'm sorry, he died 2 weeks ago. He was buried yesterday. That makes about, in fact, no, it makes four people within the last year or two that were very close to me. These people were people of faith. They knew God. But yet they were taken out. So my quest is, why were they taken out? I mean, if Jesus Christ Himself walked into this place in the flesh, do you think any one of us would leave with a sickness or an illness? Then He said, well, greater works than these shall you do. Why? Because He goes to His Father, meaning that we can become born again. Once He goes to His Father and we accept Him, we're walking in a much different level than what the Old Testament people were walking in. Even though while He was here, they were under His mantle. But now, because we can be born again, we will do greater works. And the greatest work is to see someone come to Christ, bar none. But why is it that a lot of Christians get sick and die? Sick and die. They get sick and die. And these are people, and I'm not judging them, believe me. But what happens? What's wrong there? So what can I do to help? Because as we know, and as we last week we heard, that it is not about us. So what can we do to help? I remember John G. Lake, his son was sick, and he was over in Chicago. And he got a wire in them days that his son was sick, Otto, over here in Detroit. When he jumped on the train, he came over. And he knelt down beside his son's bed, and he prayed for a number of hours, and the son rose up. He was not dead, he was just very sick. So he went back to Chicago. He got another wire, his son got sick again. So he came back to Detroit, and he went into the hospital room or wherever it was, and he took off his jacket, and he rolled up his sleeves, and he knelt down. He says, okay, devil, try it now. And he raised his son up. Do we have that in us to do that? Can we take 4 to 6 to 8 hours? Can we take 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 4 weeks? I think we're coming to that. And I think as a place here, and I believe I'm speaking in the Spirit, as the Lord grows this place, He wants people who are full of love and full of wisdom. Not perfect, but full of that and full of faith. Because when people comes in, we need to show them the love of God. And they need to see great examples. And we have that. But God will not send people anywhere if we're going to hurt them. That's just not His way. But as the prophecy says, and as the words say over the years, that we are watchmen on the wall here, then they are coming. And I believe as a congregation, we should look to that. When we pray, we should look at the vision of what's happening and what's coming. Don't discard it. It's something that God wants us to know and wants to become part of our very fiber. Oh, yeah, we're growing. We're growing, oh yeah. And it not be a shock or a surprise when a group walks in. They may lose their leader. I shared this morning, maybe 10, 12, 15 people that lose their leader for some reason, move somewhere or something like that. So they walk in here looking for a pastor, someone who would lead, because they heard about this place and they know that things are happening here and that we're walking in the love of God, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. It doesn't have to be our love. Our love won't wash. Right. 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, you tell me that your love is going to wash every night. Unless you have some yogurt. So we need to get moving in some of the things of the Lord. I won't keep you long, but I believe we need to look at this particular scripture. You has the word of knowledge, where is it? I love that. I laugh at my own jokes. But I mean well. James, the book of James. Now, there are a number of primary ways the Lord speaks to us. But to me, from what I've seen, and according to Scripture, I believe that one of the main ones is the inner witness. We need, or the spirit man, we need to grow the spirit man way beyond the carnal man. James chapter 4, verse 13. It says, King James says, go to now, or it says, come now. You that say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Sounds like a good idea, but verse 14 says, whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then it vanishes away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will. So it's a good thing to move from here to Calgary for a pay hike of $15,000 to $20,000 a year. Sounds good. Let's go. But what is God saying? Man, we have got to get this, that particular part of listening to the Holy Spirit and allowing that inner witness to grow. If it's praying in the Spirit, and I know I teach a lot on that, but it's something that I have found to be so real. He's the only inoculation against deception. And don't think that the enemy's not out for you to deceive you. If he can deceive you one bit here, 0.5%, God help you in a year. Because you're out there doing your own thing. And one thing about God, he resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And if we need to, we really need to actually go to the Lord and say, Lord, deal with me on this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, it says, examine me. Examine yourself, really, to see if whether I'm in the faith. Well, we know that you're in the faith. But what are you doing in it? Are you moving in the faith? Anyway, so it's okay to go out to another province or to the U.S. or Europe or something. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with that if God's calling you. That's the way to do it. That's what you need to do. But if our motive is just money or position or something like that, and God is not saying it, you're going to do the wide loop. And I know this for sure, that as you get older, you can't do a lot of them wide loops anymore. Because time starts to run out on you. So we need to be strong in spirit. Glory to God. Let me just talk about a few points about the inner witness and then I'll close. But the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit. It's not our soul. God is spirit and He's looking for people to worship Him in spirit and truth. So the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Romans 8 and 16. So the Holy Spirit communicates to our spirit. And this is what we call the inner witness, right? So the voice of the Spirit to your spirit creates a quiet assurance. It's a relaxed knowing about something. The question is, how can I disguise the voice of this inner witness or the inner man? How do I know it's Holy Spirit? Well, we can, but we got to spend some time with the Lord. If you want to get to know somebody, you have to spend time with them. And He's wide open. Are there any features that I should look for? And what differentiates the inner witness from an ordinary thought? Well, the inner witness is different from reasoning thoughts. It is not mental knowledge or logical reasoning. In fact, if the Lord is speaking to us and we start reasoning it out, and there's nothing wrong with reasoning, but in this instance, if we start reasoning it out, we will reason ourselves right out of it. It's true. The inner witness is best identified by eliminating other voices. A great secret to identifying the inner witness is to eliminate other voices, of course. Ensure that it is not your flesh that wants to do something. Make sure that it is just not a reasonable proposition, something that sounds good. It may sound really good. It really may be beneficial to what you want to do. But if the Spirit of God is not in it, then you've missed it. And you will probably have to stop and come around, and I know some of us have done this, and start again. There may be some good reason and some good feelings when the Spirit is leading you, but make sure it is the Spirit leading you, and don't go just by feelings. Psalm 36 and 10, you cannot beat this scripture for meditating and just sitting back on the Lord. And it says, be still and know that I'm God. Get your favorite chair, sit back, and be still. Find a time that you can be still and sit back. And ask Him. Just don't think it out. Ask Him. Say, Lord, will you talk to me? Will you speak to me? That's a very important key to growing in your inner man. And don't be anxious for anything. And one thing about the Word of God, Hebrews 4:12 says, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It appears even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And so it's the only qualified agent to tell you as to whether you're operating in the soulish realm or in the spirit realm. And I know you know this, but isn't it a wonderful thing? Isn't it such a joy when we have heard the Lord, we know it, we move out and things happen? Yeah. It's amazing. And that's where I want to go. More and more. The inner witness is an impression of peace. It's an awareness of peace. It is the peace of God, which is beyond understanding, reasoning, logic, and physical things. Philippians 4:6-7 says, be anxious for nothing, but by everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Man, start just jump up thanking God. It says, let your requests be made known, and the God of peace will guard your hearts and minds. Who else would you want to guard your heart and mind? As we develop spiritually, we will become aware of the peace of God as a method and direction. You will say, well, I don't have peace about this. I can't move on it because this is a big thing. Young people, you meet someone and you're reasoning it all out. It seems to work great. But God is saying, no, that's not the one for you. You need to listen to that. I know a young person who was going with somebody. And my hat is off to this person. And she was in love with this person. But this person was not the right person, right guy. And we had talked a bit. And she was smart enough to go fast and pray for 3 days. In this case, just 3 days. She would have done more. And she got the download that God says, no, that is not the right person for you. And as hard as it was, she broke it off and went a different way. If she had have married that person, who knows the way it would have been? Now, he who finds a wife slash husband finds a good thing. God is in all that. And if you're praying, if you're looking, you just pull out a scripture like that and say, Father, this is what your word says. I want a spouse. It's part of the blessing. It's part of what the word says. It's a promise. But make sure it's the right one. The Apostle Paul described the phenomenon of inner peace as the peace of God and said it's an umpire. It means to arbitrate, to direct, to govern. God uses peace to direct and govern us. And if we will listen and let the peace of God rule in our hearts to the which we are called to the body and be thankful, then the transition, and I'm using this morning, the transition will become easier. There will be a transition. And sometimes we need very much strength for change through the transition. But we need to hear the revelation of God. Download us the secrets, the secret things. He knows your spouse. And he wants you to be blessed. But he wants you to be led by him and not him be led by you. Oh, God bless this person. Are you kidding me? No, that's not your person. The inner witness is a strong conviction. The inner witness makes you certain about what the Lord is saying. Man, do we need that today? Will you really say in this, Lord? Then we have to be obedient to it. Because we can go along loving the Lord and being disobedient over here. Yeah. And I hate that for me. Once again, this is not easily explained, but sometimes people, when they're walking as a believer, do things that are not understandable with the carnal mind. But this is also called faith, because we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith. We go from faith to faith. But faith does work by love. He's a faith God, and faith is the language of heaven. So you cannot easily explain the faith you have, and you cannot always explain the convictions you have, but the Holy Spirit, through your spirit, will deliver you to the right place. And I know this in the last couple of months. For me, I've just gone through a double-mindedness. And finally, about a week ago, it clicked. I said, that's it. I know what this is. It's a cancer. And it's taken my energy. And I want nothing to do with it. I made a decision, and that's it. But I know the decision was right. And then once I made it, things start happening to show me that it was right. So sometimes we have to jump out in faith. The inner witness, and finally, this is the last one, but the inner witness will become clear when you spend time with the Lord. How? And I just mentioned one. Be still and know that He is God. He will download into you some things that you'll go, wow, is this my God? I thought you were way out there. No, He's right there with you. He will never leave you or never forsake you. And if someone visits you, something from the other side, you will have the peace and the confidence and the faith to go through it and know and continue to know who you are in Christ. So there's some other keys, and I would mention this again for the second time, but praying in the Spirit, private worship, meditation, and assimilation. If you don't have time to sit down and read for half an hour, I would say find the time, first of all. But if you don't, and you're going to be driving to work, and you're going to work, then try to read a portion of Scripture. Just read it through. Don't study it. But when you jump in your car, God is going to bring some of them Scripture points to you. And He'll light up to you the particular verse that will uncrack that particular part of Scripture. That's what meditation and assimilation is. If you do not have the time to meditate, believe me, assimilate it and read it over. Sometimes, though, you'll find that you may have to read something 50 times, but you will get what's in that scripture. There's a lot of us that read and we see a verse and says, oh, that doesn't belong there. So we go around it. Well, Jesus. It is true. See? It is true. And I could name a few. I'm still meditating. No. No, but that's probably the scripture that breaks the whole thing down for you. And Jesus wasn't preaching one day and said, okay, give you 10 verses as man has cut them out. But he wouldn't be speaking something and jump over here and bring something strange in and then jump back and continue to teach what he was teaching at the beginning. But as you meditate and assimilate on the word, and as you pray in the Spirit, he's the Spirit of truth, they are going to decipher that word and they're going to run it through your mind until you say, yes, I got it. The Lord, in one half of 1 second, can bring a capsule over into your mind, drop it in, boom, you understand the whole thing. You know exactly what to do. So praying in the Spirit, private worship, assimilation, meditation, assimilation, and then the one that everybody likes is fasting. One thing about fasting, though, it will clear the cobwebs out of your mind. Now, I know there's some discrepancy over this, but you don't move God. God is not stuck. No, so honestly, if you can, I'd like to know. But that's what I've found. But what happens is we do move us. And finally, the last one is confession. Once we begin to confess, and I know what the enemy does. He'll take the scripture from you. And you'll even forget it. You'll forget some that you've memorized and that you know. Don't let him do that. You have the mind of Christ. And that takes in a whole broad area. So confession. Confession of the word and the negative in terms of speaking to the mountain, because the word is like a hammer, it'll break the rock. Eventually, it'll break the rock, but keep hammering. Also, confession on the other side is this, that you start confessing who you are in Christ. This will win out. The enemy hates this. We're not doing it to get him to hate us, but we're doing it because we want to grow. So praying in the Spirit, private worship, meditation, assimilation, fasting, excuse me, and confession. Hallelujah. Well, I'm done. Could you just bow your...
The truth of God.